Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining. Okay. So hi, everybody, and welcome to Best Practices for Welcoming EL Newcomers into Your School Community. This is an EdWeb webinar featuring leading educators from Clarion Goldfield Dowse School District, and I'm so thrilled that they are here with us today. They have a fabulous program planned for you. Okay, so let's do an audience poll. So let's learn about each other with a few polling questions, especially while folks are joining. It's a great time to learn about who's on the call today. So I'm going to post a poll on the screen. Please, everyone, if you don't mind, participate, answer, and we'll see where everyone's from. Poll number one, in what region of the U.S. or the world do you teach? So everyone can submit your vote. Looks like we've got a lot of folks from the Northeast U.S., me included. I'm coming to you from New York, New York, which could explain some of the background noise you may hear during this presentation. It looks like we've got the Southwest or Midwest U.S. creeping up. We've got folks from outside the U.S. Thank you for joining from whatever time zone you're on. And we've got some representation from the Southeast and West Coast as well. So I see the poll is still moving. Everyone, if you don't mind, submit your last second vote. All righty. So I'm going to close this poll. Thank you, everyone, for sharing where you are from or where you teach. Okay, let's put up another polling question. Second, and we've got poll number two. What is your current role in education? If you are none of these choices, just pick the closest thing to what you do. And we only had five choices, so we picked five popular ones. But again, please let us know what you do for your role in education. And again, if it's none of those, pick just the one that you feel is the most similar. Okay, we've got elementary school teacher leading the pack, middle and high school teacher next. And in third place, we've got district level administrator with department chair and principal or AP coming in last so far. But again, thank you all for joining. It's great to have a diverse group with us today. Okay, I'll close that poll. We've got two more to go. Let's take a look. The third poll is, how would you describe your English learner population? Very relevant to today's meeting and coursework. So let's see. We've got a lot of folks who said their EL population is suddenly increasing. Maybe that's why so many people were interested in this webinar. Second choice is holding steady, and that is the second most popular. And no one so far has clicked that their EL population is decreasing. So we've got holding steady in second place and suddenly increasing in a big lead from the others. So again, thank you for sharing. It's great to know as our presenters speak, who is represented in the room and what your EL population is like. And finally, the last poll of this series, we want to know, what is the main challenge you face with your EL program? So we have five choices here. Again, choose which one is the primary challenge you face. Many people may have multiple challenges. Pick the one that is the biggest pain point for your EL program so we can see. And again, the folks from Clarion can address some of the concerns if they have some solutions to propose for you. So just to review, we've got lack of resources, not enough EL teachers or support staff, in need of translation services, not much family engagement, and not enough training or PD on how to support EL students. So it looks like the largest challenge for people, or the most popular challenge, is not enough EL teachers or support staff. And then in second place, we've got not enough training or PD on how to support EL students, followed by not much family engagement, and tied in last place is a tie with lack of resources and, oh, taking the lead by one vote is in need of translation services. So lack of resources seems to be the least popular choice. Not to say that it's not a challenge, but it's not the primary challenge. The not enough EL teachers or support staff has won out. Okay, so thank you guys so much for sharing a little bit about you. And now we'll turn it to sharing a little bit about us. And we'll, again, turn it over after the introductions. It's going just for the agenda for today. This will be at least 45 minutes of professional development in the form of a success story and best practices from Clarion. And you'll hear a little bit, about 3 minutes worth, about Mango Languages as well. And I represent Mango as the moderator. But you'll get a whole lot of information and a chance for Q&A at the end. If you have questions, feel free to submit them at any time, and we'll grab those questions at the end. So today's learning goals. After today's presentation, you will be able to understand the challenges of EL newcomers in Clarion Goldfield DAOs, learn about digital tools to support language learning, specifically for EL newcomers and for Spanish learners as well, and you'll be able to master 9 best practices for welcoming EL newcomers, which will be the focus of today's presentation. So let's meet our presenters. And first, I will pass it to Lori Swanson.
Hi, I'm Lori Swanson, a 6th through 12th grade instructional coach for Clarion Goldfield DAOs, as Melanie mentioned, school district in Clarion, Iowa. This is my 31st year of teaching, and I was a special education teacher for 27 years before taking on the instructional coaching role. I started collaborating with our Spanish teacher to find supplemental resources for our Spanish 1 through 4 classes and realized through our research that the Mango resources would fulfill our needs with our ELL population too. So that's just a little bit about me.
Thank you so much. Okay, so in addition to Lori, you may notice we have a second person here, also a fabulous educator from Clarion. So Olivia, why don't you introduce yourself as well?
All right. My name is Olivia Huntley. This is my 13th year of teaching. I have previously taught Spanish and I also taught ELL K-12, but currently I am teaching high school ELL, and this year I switched over and I am focusing more on newcomers and new students, newer ELL students that are in our school district. We are working in small settings. We provide English language instruction as well as some background support for our students. We've almost been using Mango for a year now, and we are using this to support our students, to support their speaking skills, to support their confidence, but also engaging their families in this as well.
Excellent. Thank you, Olivia. I'll take a moment to introduce myself. Hi, everyone. I'm Melanie Fox. I'm the K-12 language learning strategist at Mango Languages. My background is in linguistics, master's in linguistics, specifically computational. Undergrad, I majored in linguistics and Spanish. And since then, I have been a hybrid person. I've been a teacher, an EL teacher and speech coach, adult ed, and a Spanish tutor. And I've also been in the ed tech space, so working with e-learning and education technology solutions companies for 20 plus years. It's actually 21. I look deceivingly young, but I have been in this space for more than 20 years. And most importantly, I am a self-proclaimed language geek. I love language learning tools. I met Mango Languages because I was a super fan first. I was kind of an evangelist telling the world about Mango Languages, but not working there. And then finally I said, okay, this is silly. Let me just work for you guys. And they said, yes. So that was 2 years ago, and I've been happy at Mango ever since. And really happy that through Mango, I got to meet these two fabulous educators, Lori and Olivia from Clarion Goldfield DAOs. So let's get started with the meat of the presentation. So I will pass it to Lori to tell us about Clarion Goldfield DAOs School District.
All right. So as I mentioned before, CGD, or Clarion Goldfield DAOs, is located in Clarion, Iowa. Clarion is a city population of about 2,800 and the county seat of our Wright County. Our district is right in the middle of the agricultural belt of Iowa. We have about 1,000 students, K-12, and we have approximately 350 English learners today, tripling in size over the past 3 to 5 years. At the high school level, we have about 90 EL learners, all Spanish speaking, and we also have 50% of our students enrolled in the free reduced lunch program. So that gives you a little bit of background on us.
Excellent. Thank you so much. So now we want to ask about Clarion's challenges. How can we best support EL newcomers? So in this particular, let me put it back to Olivia before we switch to the video. So Olivia, tell us a little bit about Clarion's challenges and how you guys best supported EL newcomers.
Well, we, as Lori said, we've had a huge population growth recently, and we had a lot of SLIFE students coming to us that were lacking in background knowledge and content areas, and they were non-English speaking. So we were really struggling to find ways that we could best support our EL newcomers. So that was our big question. What can we do to help them the best way possible?
Excellent. Thank you. And we do have a video clip as well from, I know it's featuring a principal and a superintendent as well. So I'll see if I can play this video.
The pace at which we are getting non-English speaking students, it left us really floundering.
At that point, we have kids sitting in our classrooms getting instruction in algebra, U.S. history, and a language that's tough for them. And so what do we do?
Because of the ELL program growing, like tripling in size, we needed something to get us through the year.
Excellent. So that was just a small clip of some other leaders at Clarion, just describing some of the issue. And I will pass the mic to Olivia to tell us a little bit more about the challenges.
Okay, so like we had said again, it has tripled in the last 3 to 5 years since I've been here, and it was growing so fast, we didn't really know what to do. And these students that were coming to us were considered SLIFE students, which are students with limited or interrupted formal education. Many of them hadn't been in a structured setting for so long that they needed adjustments to school, to the environment, to routines, and following a schedule again, and respecting authority, and everything that goes with a school day. So not only were we helping them to adjust to this situation, but we were also trying to help them build their background knowledge in the content areas that they were going to be taking classes in and build their English language at the same time. We had no curriculum here. We had not a lot of resources are really available out there. And so we were really struggling for what we can do to benefit them. So the other problem that we had was I was the only ELL teacher at the high school level, and our numbers were astounding, and we were struggling to meet every student and meet the needs of our students.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I see that other people in the chat are saying that they, or at least one other person mentioned that they're from Iowa, and it sounds like they are already connecting with these challenges. So Lori, what did Clarion Goldfield Dowse or CGD do to meet the challenge?
So as Olivia mentioned, we recognized that we had a challenge of meeting student needs at the secondary level, and it was greatly impacting our teaching culture, and we knew we wanted to improve upon that. Our English learner population tripled in size, as we mentioned, and it was becoming the new normal, so to speak. So we initially looked at Mango for our Spanish classes, as our teacher just stumbled upon it in a random email, and thank goodness she did. She came to me to see what I thought, and when we dove into Mango, we realized that it was actually exactly what we were looking for beyond the Spanish classes for our EL population. We reached out to Mango, and then basically it was history. We participated in demos and emails and phone conversations and Zooms with Mango representatives. We were in contact with other teachers or instructional leads also with the help of Mango reps. Basically, we met with our principal to sell what we thought we found, what we thought was too good to be true. And he got on board immediately because of our challenge that we were facing. He then met with our superintendent, who then worked with our chief financial officer. We ended up using our ESSER funding to make this happen. And the Spanish teacher, who you saw in the video, and Olivia and I, we met each week to go through the video tutorials that Mango provided. And then we basically just jumped right in, creating our Mango binders with everything we could get our hands on. And we learned as we went, and we are still learning as we started implementing it last January, which Olivia had stated. But it has truly been a celebration for us at the secondary level to see the changes that we are making to meet the challenge.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And I will just jump in for a few minutes to give you a little sidebar on Mango Classroom. You mentioned Mango and Mango Classroom, and not all attendees may know what it is. So let me give you a little bit of a rundown since I am from Mango. So Mango Classroom is a turnkey solution for K-12 and adult education language learners. It includes both English learning, as Clarion will focus on today, with support in 20 native languages and world languages. And Mango offers learning in 70 plus world languages and dialects, and Clarion mentioned today a little bit about Spanish. The tools include a web-based application and a mobile app. It can be used in school or at home. It's on demand, it's self-paced, The app even has a hands-free Bluetooth mode and an offline mode. The offline mode is really great for EL newcomer families because they may not be set up with internet access in the home. Mango provides a very safe and low stress environment. So for you language dorks, you might recognize the term effective filter. So it lowers the effective filter and encourages students to try their new language. Mango is very unique in that the content focuses on practical conversations. And this is one reason that I immediately gravitated towards this app over others. I like that it emphasized speaking and the practical conversation topics so that I could really hone my oral language skills. And that is exactly what students do. They hone their oral language skills starting right away. Part of this is they hear native speakers in two different speeds, carefully articulated speed and a conversational pace to get up to what you would use in typical practical conversation. There's also some built-in stealth grammar, as they call it, and it gives you a visual about the structure of the language. They use color coding strategies and grammar notes to understand what's going on behind the scenes in the language. And most fun, they also infuse cultural learning in the app. So it's fun, it's grounded, and it's real. You can learn about the people who speak the language, and then you can try to feel comfortable being one of those people speaking the language. The content compares favorably with actual can-do statements, world readiness standards for learning languages, and the five C's. That's communication, cultures, connections, comparisons, and communities. Some districts use the tool to help students earn the Seal of Biliteracy, that would be for graduating seniors, and Pathway Awards on the way to earning the seal. One thing I'd like to highlight about our reporting. So through reporting dashboards, which you'll see screenshots of later, you can track activity and progress. So a school or a district leader can see summary reports, and then a teacher or other stakeholders can see granular data. You can see students at a glance, a class or a cohort, or drill down to the student level, viewing their hours logged, activities completed, assessments. In addition to the app, Mango provides content in the form of classroom guides, which help students in all domains, including lesson plans and student workbook activities, best practice guides, and even a pacing guide. So Mango can serve as either a supplement or a standalone curriculum. So one last thing about that low stress environment, Mango also offers complimentary access for up to 5 loved ones. So a student can share and gain motivation from learning in collaboration with family members. And I'll end by just noting that this past year, Mango Classroom won a CODI Award in Education for Best World Language Learning Solution from SIA, the Software Information Industry Association, in addition to a few other awards from well-known education organizations like Tech and Learning. So if you have any questions about Mango, you'll have my contact information, and you'll also have a link to our website where you can fill out a form and a customer success expert in your area can contact you. And with that info about Mango complete, let me pass it back to the folks from CGD. All right, so this is the meat and potatoes of the presentation. Let me pass it to Olivia to start with one of the 9 best practices to welcome EL newcomers.
Okay, so the first one we came up with was prioritizing social skills. So here we have found that the most important thing to do with our students is to start building their social and communication skills. That way they can be successful in school and outside of school and be conversationally fluent first. We work on having conversations with as many people as possible throughout the day, and we really encourage day-to-day interactions with peers in the school, other students, and staff.
Excellent. Alrighty. And I think we'll keep it with you, Olivia, for the next one as well.
One of the other things we came up with was to meet students at their level. One of the things that I really love about Mango is it starts where the students need it to start. So here in Iowa, we use one of our district assessments that we have is called the ELPA for our screener test, and a lot of other states use WIDA. So this is a test that it's a standardized test, but it is given to all students who are considered ELL, and then it determines their need or their placement for to best meet the needs of these students. Mango also provides a placement test that students can take to recommend a starting point in this program. I like to ask students if they are comfortable at the level that Mango placed them at before just having them jump right in and seeing if maybe they would like to go back a little bit, start a little lower level, or whatever they would be comfortable at. But That's the benefit of Mango. It starts exactly where the student needs them to, which, as you stated earlier, Melanie, it lowers their effective filter a lot.
Excellent. And I know a lot of folks are really focused on WIDA and ALPA and Lost Links and NICE-SLAT scores because their ESSA plans may have made stipulations as far as how many students will exit, how many students will move up to certain levels. So I know that the high stakes EL summative assessments are on a lot of people's minds. So thank you for bringing that up. Okay. And I think, Olivia, I think you are also going to do this slide.
So from these placement tests, we determine, from the ELPA test, we determine what type of support our students will need. So with our newcomers, especially those students who are SLIFE students, we start them in pull-out services. So we provide the necessary skills and adjustments that will help students prepare for their gen ed classes later on. And then we also work on building their background info and the language that they would need to be successful in these classes. From there, we would move our students into more push-in type services or co-teaching. So once they have the background information that they need, once they are adjusted to our school, we allow them to go into more gen ed classes with still some help, still some modeling, some accommodations as needed. They do a lot of small group time, but it is not as intensive and focused on those students then. There are also dual immersion type programs. However, in Clarion, we do not have any of those available here. I have talked with some teachers who have done it, so I know a little bit of information. I do know some pros and some cons with bilingual style education, but I personally do not have any firsthand experience with it.
Okay, excellent. Now I think we're going to pass the mic to Lori, who's going to tell us about monitoring progress as best practice number 4.
So our data dive really is a work in progress right now. Our next steps at this time are to go beyond the class stats, the user activity, and the learning time. And as we mentioned already, January will be a year for us to utilize this tool. We will be engaging in a data dive as a team with our Spanish teacher, who she's on maternity leave right now, with the Spanish teacher, Olivia, and myself. We will have a better look at growth and averages at that time. And we did find that we had to explicitly review expectations with our ELL students regarding Mango assessments, as Olivia noticed that hole in our data. So we're working through that right now. We did create a data spreadsheet based on our students who started at the beginning of our Mango implementation. And we linked our students who started at, we linked them from last year's to this year's standardized testing data. So we looked at our Iowa statewide assessment of student progress, the ISAS, to see if students grew on that, and we added it to this year's, our fall NWA MAP assessment, which is our measure of academic progress. So we have that in the works to continue using as well. We wanted to see if we could analyze if Mango was truly helping our students. We did have a growth on assessments, but we need to continue to add to our spreadsheet as students are moving in. Once we meet as a team, which will be coming up in January, Mango reps or the K-12 account manager who I've been in contact with will help us or assist us in creating specific reports that we would like.
Okay, excellent. And is it correct that your district is doing a 3-year study or wanted to see improvement over 3 years? And can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Once we found this, and chime in anytime, mm-hmm. Once we found this resource and this tool that we could use that was very friendly to us, we decided that we would jump into the 3-year and run with it. So like we said, we've only had this, it'll be a year in January, but we could have opted for the 1 year.
Yep.
Or the 3, and we decided let's just go for it and learn as we go. Did that answer your question, Melanie?
Yes. And I think some districts also kind of want to know, you know, how what's a good measure for studying, you know, if my population is making progress, or, you know, and I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, maybe you're, is it a CFO or a COO at Clarion that was very specific in saying they wanted to see development over time. And so I think it was a really strategic endeavor, it sounded like, to not just, you know, try a quick fix and see, did this work overnight? But not only did it work overnight, and let's see progress over 3 years. So that sounded like a very scientific choice from CDD.
Yes, you're right.
Excellent. Okay. So let's move to another topic. Again, Lori, tell us a little about the results of the effort. And as much as you can, I'd love you to walk us through this screenshot a little bit.
Okay, so the results of the effort, this kind of gives a summary. This shows the overall data from the past year with Mango. As you can see, almost 300 students were using Mango. About 8,300 lessons were completed, and more than 2,500 hours were spent learning. Now, and I can look at this piece of data through the admin portal.
Excellent. And then I believe we have another screenshot for describing the results and usage data.
Yep. So this is another screenshot that we can see on the admin side, and this shows student progress within the program, and it tracks their lessons completed. It tracks how many assessments they've completed. It shows us their average score on those assessments, and it also shows the amount of time that students have been spending in each activity. So all of that information is on here. It shows their current progress, and students can set goals then, and it'll show how they're progressing towards those goals as well.
Excellent. And just in case the font is small on someone's screen, that left column says name, and of course the names are hidden so that this remains anonymous, but that's where a student's name would be. It kind of looks like a progress bar if you are seeing it on a tiny phone. So I just wanted to note what that was on the left. That is just an obscured name column. Okay, excellent. And Olivia as well, can you tell us a little bit about the assessments on this particular slide?
So on this side, it is showing how to track assessments for students and how to track their growth then. So we can measure the amount of growth that students are making in the program with each chapter in the unit. So this is an example of a student who is doing Unit 2, Chapter 4, and the unit is covering friends and relationships. So because Mango offers a pre-quiz and then also a post-quiz, we are able to see their level when they started this chapter, but then also their level at the end. So this student, as you can see, got a 44% on the pre-quiz, but then throughout the chapter learned enough to get an 88% on the post-quiz, which was a growth of 44%. So all of this is visible to the admin, and it's so user-friendly and easy to check, and students can also see their progress, which is very helpful.
Excellent. Okay, so the next slide's a little break from data and is about culturally responsive teaching. So let's see, is that a slide for Olivia?
Yeah, that's Olivia. It's just me again. Okay, so we actually did a book study on this topic, and it was with the administrators from the high school, the middle school, Lori, myself, and then the middle school ELL teacher. And we used a book by Carol Salva. After we did this study, we did a lot of PD with it, and we realized it really made us see the importance of student-centered and student-led activities. So in my room, I really do not like to use a lot of paper pencil tests. I would rather the students are taking ownership of their learning and their assessments, and they are presenting to us in a project or in a conversation or with discussions, because kind of like Melanie has said earlier, I really like the social building of students and being able to communicate in their target language. I also do a lot of activities allowing students to become the teachers. So this allows the students to show us a little bit about themselves, to share their point of view on a topic, to share their lives, their backgrounds, their cultures. And honestly, one of my favorite ways that we've been doing this is with the cultural lesson that comes with the Mango classroom guides. Mm-hmm. And you've seen it. We get so into these conversations, and these students get like in a debate, and they're still using the target language, but they get so involved in these, but then they're able to teach us also. And I think that really helps them to take ownership and to feel motivated to learn, and
their
confidence is building. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So.
And may I ask, maybe it's a selfish question because I'm dying to hear, but can you name a few cultural conversations that got really lively in your classroom?
A lot. One of the funniest ones was, so all of my newcomer students are from Guatemala, and we had a discussion about the calendar, and the United States starts on Sunday, and they were talking about how the calendar in Guatemala starts on Monday. But then some of the students in the background were like, no, my calendar starts on Sunday. And so we had this huge debate, and it was with Guatemalans about when the calendar starts in Guatemala. And it was just a very, it was just interesting because they, it was different across the country. So it was just.
So your culture talks lead to so much more just, from what we've found.
Yes, so many different things. Another favorite of mine was, we were talking about in the United States, it's customary to take off your shoes when you enter somebody's mm-hmm. house. And people thought that was just disgusting because why would you put your bare feet on somebody else's floor? And then I said, well, it's disgusting to wear your shoes in a house. It was just a, they're fun conversations. It's a lot of fun, honestly. So.
Yes. And I think someone just posted in the chat a conversation about comparing certain food items that I believe I just saw. So maybe we'll get back to that comment a little bit later, but thank you for sharing. And if anyone else in the audience has a cultural conversation they'd like to contribute, please keep that chat going. All righty. So another topic for Olivia, can you tell us a little bit about your best practice for engaging families?
So yes, we love to get families engaged as much as we can. The studies have shown that if families are learning with the students or if families are supportive of the learning, then students will achieve better. They will be more motivated to be in school and to do well. We have not been able to do these yet. We have currently found that it is very difficult with the schedules that parents and students work to host a family night, but that is something that we are really looking forward to in our near future, and we would love to do it K-12. One thing that we have done is we have encouraged a lot of families to take a part of these free family accounts that they can do on Mango, like you were mentioning earlier. There's 5 free accounts per student. So their siblings can do it. Their families can do it. They can do it on their cell phones, like you were saying earlier. There's so many ways that they can share it. And it's been a lot of fun for families to come back to us then and tell us that they're learning. And another thing that we have done is we really encourage parents to come to parent-teacher conferences. So we schedule a time with a translator. We call each family. We make sure that they know when conferences are, what they are going to be discussing, just things like that. We really encourage families to get involved as much as possible.
Excellent. And can I ask, some of the folks that we work with ask us if we can do the translation, and we have some folks on the team that can do that, but what do you typically do when you need a translation or an interpreter? Where do you source those? Do you source them from the same place, a translator versus an interpreter?
We actually just use the staff that we have here because the only second language that we have is Spanish.
And we have 3 bilingual paraeducators that help us. And our counselor is also bilingual.
Yep.
Oh, excellent. So you have some resources in-house. That's fabulous. Okay, great. And keeping with Olivia, let's talk about the ever popular topic of funding, something that everybody always has on their mind when it comes to, getting services, products, and anything that you might need resource-wise for your students. So please tell us a little bit about how you found funding and anything else that would be helpful to our listeners.
Okay, so I'll take on the funding part. The fun part. So the 7th best practice is to find funding to purchase tools for your EL program. So at Clarion, once Mango was brought to our superintendent, we knew we needed to spend money to support our students, of course. So he worked closely with our district CFO to utilize the ESSER funding. I'll go through some very basic steps that outline the process of attaining the ARP ESSER and the ESSER 2 funding. But just keep in mind that every individual state has a different set of requirements and processes when it comes to attaining that funding. So the 2 most popular funding streams right now are the ARP ESSER and ESSER 2. The first step is to visit the website, which I believe is under the 2nd bullet provided on the slide, and determine how much funding was allocated to your school district and how much of that money is still accessible for purchases. And after you identify how much funding is available, you must check your state's allowable uses to make sure the program you are seeking to purchase is supported under those allowable uses. So some examples of the allowable uses include improving access to world language and EL instruction, offering blended learning projects and providing well-rounded educational opportunities, summer programs, supporting learning loss, and even implementing technology. Again, these allowable uses will vary between states. They're just some examples of uses from our state of Iowa. And finally, after you've identified your funding and confirmed the program you are looking to purchase qualifies under the allowable uses for your state, the next step would be to contact your district's funding director. The funding director would be able to identify your state's specific application and submission requirements and move forward with your request. If you're unsure who your district's funding director is, please make sure you reach out to the Mango Languages Grant Intelligence Consultant, I believe. But I will let you know, in terms of our funding, we did not encounter any problems. I hope that.
That's excellent. And we do have on staff a grant funding specialist, exactly how you named her. And I have, just because it seems like we have a little wiggle room on time, I'm happy to name some from our, we have an allowable uses document that works for both world language and EL programs that could help guide folks in purchasing a world language or EL product, Mango or otherwise. So I'm just going to throw out some topics, repeating some that you mentioned and adding some others, just because this question comes up a lot for districts looking for funds. And again, this is specific to allowable uses of ESSER funds for world language and EL resources, specifically technology. So some guiding questions that you can ask yourself are, will the proposed use of funds prevent, prepare for, and respond to the coronavirus? Is it an allowable use of funds under the CARES Act? Is it reasonable and necessary? Does it promote equity? And does it support returning students to the classroom? Now, some of this you might say, okay, well, maybe that was at the heart of the pandemic. We had some issues that way, but there's a lot of other things you can look for. So if it's an activity that was authorized under ESEA, E-S-E-A, that is the, Education Equity Support and Assistance Act, including improving access to foreign or world language instruction, carrying out innovative blended learning projects, that's pretty broad, for example, using Mango or another product in a learning lab or as part of a rotation of a flipped classroom or implementation model. Also, if you have migratory students, this could be transferred from Title I Part C or Title III Part A for immigrant students. And in addition to ESSA, schools may use their funds to provide, quote, well-rounded educational opportunities, summer programming, help with learning loss, safe and healthy students, and the effective use of technology. So that's fairly broad. It includes, again, well-rounded, preventing learning loss, using technology, even programming for over the summer. So again, a lot of ways to justify using your funds for whether it's EL or world language programming. Anything that's relevant under the AEFLA, the Adult Education and Family Literacy Act, if you're trying to support parents or adult ed students. There's also some other nitty-gritty ones, like anything authorized by the Carl D. Perkins Career and Technical Education Act. That's a little specific. Also, there's one that has to do with supporting homeless students in McKinney-Vento. Responds and improves preventing and preparing or responding to COVID-19. And that's a little bit off topic with specific technology. But again, these are, if you said, hey, this would support this group of students and it's resonating, sounds like another activity to consider as far as writing up as a justification. Another one I want to bring out is addressing the needs of low-income children or students, students with disabilities, English learners are named in here, racial and ethnic minorities, students experiencing homelessness, as we mentioned before, and children and youth in foster care, and how, including how outreach and service delivery will meet the needs of each population. So the more you describe how it helps one of those populations, the better you are in justifying it. I'll just mention two more. One of them is specific to ed tech. So purchasing educational technology, including hardware, software, and connectivity for students who are served by the LEA that aids in regular and substantive educational interaction between students and their classroom. I'll, you know, spare you the rest of that sentence. But basically, if you're supporting students that are low income or with disabilities or that need assistive technology or adaptive equipment, the ed tech purchase can also fall into that category. And finally, addressing the impact, the academic impact of lost instructional time. So again, helping to support the students who might need it the most, low-income students, students with disabilities, English learners, racial and ethnic minorities, students experiencing homelessness, or children and youth in foster care. And there's a lot of detail as to how you can point this out. Why am I reading all of these? Just to let you know, there's a ton of different ways that you can look at this allowable uses document and help justify the use of funds for educational technology that goes to support language learning, whether that is EL or world language learning. So there's a lot to go on there. If anyone needs that document, let me know. It is on our website, but I can certainly help you find it. And again, just showing how you're preventing learning loss over the summer, how you're helping create a well-rounded educational experience or promoting well-rounded educational opportunities, especially for the types of students we mentioned. It's very, very likely that you will get approved for the funds since you can use all of these justifications in doing so. So sorry for the lots of wording there. But just know these words can help you get the funding to use for your programs. Okay, so let's go back to you guys for the eighth best practice, boosting confidence.
So boosting confidence has been really exciting to see. I have the privilege actually of having an office in our collaboration lab where our students work on Mango. I mean, they work on it in two different in classroom settings, but they work at their own pace. And what a difference it has been just for me in just the way they feel confident to engage in conversation with me. When we first started Mango, I made time in my schedule to work on it right alongside the students. And this allowed me to ask questions when I was confused. And it just built in that conversation piece that Olivia had already talked about that was important. I it's kind of neat because I always know what lesson they may be on by the questions they ask me, it relates to their lessons they're working on. And this year, I met with all of our high school students, including the ELL students, to talk about their standardized tests, the importance, what we use them for, if their scores reflect in them as a learner, etc. And out of all of the ELL students that I met with, I only had to use translation one time, which is pretty impressive. And I truly don't think that that would have happened before Mango. When we discussed strengths during those conversations, many students even stated that Mango was their strength and that it was like a favorite class or subject. So that was really interesting to see. It was a true celebration for us. The students actually love writing notes. You see the notes that they wrote to our principal, thanking him for the Mango program so that they can all be successful. The principal actually has laminated notes in his office where all the students were writing him. They always want to write and thank him for Mango because they're just so pumped about it. And I know that they sang happy birthday to him in English, which was a real boost of confidence for them. And he loved that too. And it just seems to me that their silence periods just seem to be lessening, and we want to keep that engagement and confidence high. And that's what we've been seeing.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I love the happy birthday story. That's really exciting. And who doesn't like incorporating singing into language learning? So for the last best practice, let's go to both Lori and Olivia. Please tell us all how to make it more fun.
Okay. So like we had said earlier, we are really hoping, and it is one of our goals, that we can get a family culture night that we can do K-12 and just really get the families together and have them have a good time together. We do celebrate every little tiny success that our students have, whether that is a conversation that they had in the hallway with another student that was all in English, or the students love to come in and tell me, I went into the office and I didn't need a translator. I paid for my lunch and did it by myself.
Going to the nurse and being able to.
Yes, all of those things. And we celebrate it. And it's every little thing that they accomplish, we make it a big deal so that it keeps keeps building confidence in themselves and it keeps motivating them to learn. Our next thing that we are going to do when our Spanish teacher is back from maternity leave, we are planning to implement, we're going to pair a level one English speaker and or English learner with a level one Spanish learner. And we're going to create kind of like a verbal pen pal. They're going to be talking together and trying out their English or their Spanish with somebody who is a native speaker. And that will also build their confidence working with authentic language that is not just their teacher who slows everything down and, you know, it's more live, real time and better learning. We're also really hoping that that promotes peer interactions with people who don't speak their native language and hoping that that will build friendships and help them to kind of expand out of their comfort zone.
Build those connections so that they can feel less isolated also. Mm-hmm. We also had, when I have data conversations with students, we had a student that created his own schedule and he didn't have Mango in his schedule. So this was really interesting when I talked with him and he wanted to put it back into his schedule. And he was also a student that showed proficiency on both of our standardized tests. And so we were kind of weeding him out a little bit, but he wants that back in, which was neat because now he just uses it at home and after school. So we will make that change for him.
Yes.
Excellent. That sounds like a ton of fun. So thank you so much for sharing these activities. These are fabulous. So now what I want to do is open it up to Q&A. And I see we have some questions already submitted. If you submitted them in the chat, someone is actually transferring them. I think that is the masterful Regina to the Q&A section. But if you haven't submitted it yet, please do feel free to submit an audience member question so we can read them and ask our fabulous folks from CGD. Okay. So first question is, what obstacles did you face while trying to get newcomer families engaged?
Like we had said earlier, a lot of families work odd hours for our ELL students. So it's been a struggle trying to get everybody that we can meet at the same time. Even with conferences, a lot of families weren't able to come because of their work schedules. So that was one of the things that we had problems with. Another one was just internet at home. We did not have, a lot of our families don't have internet in their house. So that was one of the things that they were not able to do Mango unless they were able to get it on their cell phone. So.
Got it. And that was one of the next questions actually. So yeah. Can you say more about that? Oh, sorry, Lori, you were going to answer. And then if we can add, one of the next questions was, how did you handle internet accessibility at home for newcomers? So let's do these questions together.
Yeah. Yep. So we, because Mango is available on their phones, that was one of the things that we were able to add. So we put the app on a lot of students' phones and then they could do it at home without having internet. We did have hotspots available, if you want to touch on that.
We made hotspots available for all students so that they could be successful. But basically now they're just using it on their phones. It hasn't been an issue.
Got it. And on a phone, in case somebody has a device but no connectivity, with Mango, one of the things you could do is go to a place that does have Wi-Fi, download lessons in advance, and go to a place without Wi-Fi. So would they do that because you made it happen at the school, or would they go to a library or a Starbucks? How would it work to get the temporary Wi-Fi before they took it home?
Just at school.
At school, they could do it before.
Got it. Okay, fabulous. So that answered two questions in one. You guys read the minds of the folks asking questions. So can you say more about, we already did talk about funding, but this question may have come before then. So feel free to add anything else. It's say more about how you found funding, approvals, how much work was involved to get this funding, anything regarding your write-up, permissions from others, and the submission process. So anything that you haven't already said that you'd like to add, feel free. And again, this question was submitted a little bit ago, so some of it may have been covered.
I can honestly say that when we realized that this was something that we really felt was important, once we took it to our principal, like I said, we kind of wrote it up and sold it. And he took it to the super, I mean, it just really wasn't an issue beyond the superintendent. The CFO deals with that. I did contact her to see if this was something we could tackle, and I didn't have anything to do with it the rest of the time. It was a done deal. So I can't really say that it was a problem, but we did use the ESSER funding. So
excellent. And another question, a little bit different than the internet question, is what technology did you need to make sure this was successful? I know you mentioned mobile phones and hotspots. Anything else either in the classroom or at home that you needed technology-wise to make sure that your endeavor was successful?
All of our students have a laptop through the school.
So we're one-to-one.
Yep. And so we didn't have any issues finding devices, or they were all able to put it on their computers right away. And then I helped all of the students find the app on their phone and make sure that they were able to download it if that was something that they wanted to do at home also.
Yes. So.
Excellent. Now I'm looking through, there are additional questions, and I'm trying to find the ones that are most popular. So one question is, learning loss has been significantly higher for EL students, especially after COVID. How do you recommend addressing this?
That's kind of why we do our, how we're doing it. We have students who we're working on building their background knowledge before they go into their general education classes so that they are more prepared. And then when they are in general education classes, we have either a co-teacher or a para or somebody there that's working with them to make sure that they are on the right page and helping to make sure that they are getting modifications as needed.
And we did hire another ELL teacher too. This year is our first time that we have two full-time teachers at the high school.
Excellent. Thank you so much for sharing. Now I'm looking at some of these questions are specific to Mango, so I'll leave those last, and just in case anyone wants to hear the general questions first. Somebody asked dual immersion, how many languages? So I don't know if that's a question for what you're recommending or currently doing, but usually I'm thinking that this question with dual immersion doesn't just refer to having two languages where the students may be, for example, 50% English speakers, 50% Spanish speakers. But I believe Clarion, you said that you do not have dual immersion in Clarion.
No. We do not have that here.
No. Got it. So how many language, that question about how many languages, I mean, I guess across the United States, it may be different, but I know, for example, I'm based in New York. There are a lot of different dual immersion pairings, you know, English, Spanish, English, French, English, Mandarin, a lot more than that. So I'm not sure if we have a clarity on the question, but hopefully that answered at least part of it. Okay, so one question is about Mango. It says, when you say it has native speakers, does it have differing English spoken with accents used all over the world or just American English? I can answer this one. It focuses on American English, but a standard English, like a media English. It is not a UK of like an RP British English. However, Mango is always creating new content. So if it's something that you're looking for with you know, speakers from another region, please feel free to submit the request. But this is sort of a standard media English as far as what you would hear in the US. So it's an what they would call a standard American English or general American English style speakers. And there are speakers of different genders as well. So the student has not just their instructor or teacher to listen to, but they have more voices. So when they go to take a test like WIDA, they've heard many voices so that it would influence them and hopefully make them stronger at answering questions in the listening section. So if anyone has a question that I didn't fully answer, feel free to contact me afterwards. But I think that covers that question. A few more Mango languages questions. And let me see if there's some non-Mango questions. A lot of these are Mango. Does Mango work on iPads and Chromebooks? The answer is yes. So Mango supports PCs, Macs, iPads, Androids, and Chromebooks is in with the PC machines as well. So yes, but not like a tiny iPhone watch where you, or whatever you call it, Apple Watch, where it's teeny tiny. So it has to be a device that is a sort of like a phone or larger. So looking through the questions, are any lessons aligned to standards? So we can go over this in more detail as far as if you have state standard questions, but I described before the alignment to the world readiness for language learning standards and the ACTful Can-Do statements and the 5 C's. If you have questions about other standards, feel free to reach out. What research is used to okay, so this is a more general question. Let me pass this to CGD. What research is used to support these points, and I believe that means your 9 best practices, as a best practice? It would be nice to be able to learn more. So, Clarion folks, any notes about the research in picking those 9 best practices?
Well, we did do a book study.
The book study that
and,
we did.
Mm-hmm. And we did devote like a year to PD. So we kind of just went with those.
So, and again, that book study was Carol Salva was the person that we used for that. So,
and ironically, Mango is a big fan of Carol Salva as well. And we are doing a presentation opposite this one for NYALPA, where we are introducing Carol Salva and her fabulous content. So if you're not watching us here now, hopefully you're watching Carol Salva in partnership with Mango on another webinar that just happened to be at the exact same day and time. I believe that one will be archived as well. Okay, so, and she is fabulous. So I'm glad you mentioned her. Question, is Mango available on an individual basis, i.e. not through school district pathways? If so, what would be the cost? So regarding pricing, we can have that conversation separately. If it's an individual, you could go on our website and find pricing depending on if you're purchasing all languages or just one. But mostly a school, if you have, I believe, 10 users, or I have to check what the minimum is, but it could be purchased for a small school. But yes, you can purchase Mango as an individual as well. But in most cases, if a school district has a population of students, you would get better pricing if you purchased it as an entity. And that would be a school district entity in that case. Is this beneficial for a student learning another language like in high school? Oh, sorry, let me read it again. Is this beneficial for student learning and for students learning another language, like in high school, learning another language other than English? So yes, let me pass it to Clarion to mention how you used it for Spanish.
So yes,
and by this is beneficial, we can talk about Mango and then also all of the other components you spoke about. Maybe that, I don't want to just narrow it to Mango.
No, it's Mango would definitely benefit. Our Spanish teacher is using it right now, but like we said, she's on maternity leave. Otherwise, she probably would have.
She would have joined us.
Definitely been here with us. But it's kind of the same thing as with English learning. There are some native speakers that are talking through the program, and then you can. The one thing that I really love, which we didn't bring up, is that you can match your voice to the speaker. So the students, while they are practicing, can match their voice and then listen to it and see if they sound similar to the native speaker. And so it's a good practice for that. There's also the same classroom guides and different activities that are brought up through the language learning foreign languages, no matter what it is. Those, they have all of those same kind of like worksheets and different supplemental things that you can use in the classroom as well.
And she uses it and to supplement the curriculum that she uses.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Someone asked a question tonight, and I think we should give it a little bit of time. It's any good info to help EL newcomers if not buying this program? So one of the things we wanted to make sure in crafting this is that we have a lot of non-Mango components in here because we were just one of the pieces of the solution. We happen to solve a part of the reporting issue and the content issue, but a lot of the best practices, family engagement, including technology and other things, can be program agnostic. So let me pass it to the Clarion folks to mention, not regarding something specific as Mango, but technology in general and the other practices. How would you summarize some of those 9 best practices if they were not using this particular technology?
I think, yeah, definitely all of them could be. For example, promoting social interactions is very important when learning a language. So if you can promote conversations with those students as much as possible, that will definitely benefit any newcomer, not just using the Mango program. It would be just real life conversations that they need to have, pair sharing, discussions as a class or smaller group. All of those things are the same. The the slide about culturally responsive teaching, having students taking ownership of their learning and student-led and student-centered activities always are beneficial for newcomer students. So all of that information is not based on Mango in any way. That's still, you can have conversations about anything that comes up in class and create a discussion about it with promoting the target language.
Excellent. And again, Mango is just one way to use a resource to solve a lot of these issues. But again, a lot of this can be adapted to your, you know, the curriculum that you create. It's just the technology piece that would really require a solution. And again, Mango is the one that was chosen, but this should be applicable outside users of Mango. Okay. Right. One question that came in is, what curriculum do you use?
We use Mango.
That's what we switched to.
Yes. So I didn't have a curriculum available to me here. I had looked into a few different options and I really wasn't, this is going to sound bad. I really wasn't a big fan of some of them that we had seen, but there's really not a lot of curriculum that is available and resources that are available. And so we use Mango and we use the classroom guides provided through Mango and we use those to supplement education. Usually I try to find a way to relate the topic that they are learning on Mango to real life situations and kind of just supplement that way, add into it. We do presentations based on the topics on Mango and it's kind of a...
But we went full bore with Mango.
Yeah, full Mango. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some of our clients, they have an existing textbook or curriculum and they use Mango and align with it. We also have alignment services. So if you wanted someone to help you with the curriculum mapping, we can do that. And some folks use it as a standalone. So it could be either or a standalone or a supplement. Yep. And again, if you're interested in curriculum mapping services, let us know. But again, this could be, it doesn't have to be Mango, right? This could be product agnostic using technology platform to align to your curriculum. We have about 7 more questions. Regina, I'm going to keep going unless I hear you tell me to stop just to see if folks participated. I want to make sure we get to their answers, but if the time is ended, you tell me. So one of them, I'll just go in order. Does Mango Classroom teach academic English? Is not enough to learn conversational English. It is the CALPS that takes longer and the academic English that is important for academic success. So currently Mango focuses more on the BIC style. That's why a lot of times we say if you're needing CALPS, you may want to use Mango as the supplement for the BIC style part. Not everybody uses those acronyms. So that would be the basic interpersonal communicative skills rather than the, let's see, is it cognitive academic language proficiency? I'm missing the S standards. Oh, okay. If anybody knows what letter I may have missed, let me know. But certainly look for the future. We're always adding to our programming and the type of content that we offer. But this is more for the, again, communication and conversational skills. But yes, CALPS is very important. And that is why some folks that need a focus on that will have Mango as a supplement for more of the conversational part, focusing on the oral skills. Okay, another question is this website high school friendly? Would it be beneficial for students who enter the DOE on the high school level? So I'll give this back to CGD, high school friendly. And you can answer it for Mango and any other products that you're using.
All of the content that we presented today, we use at the high school level. And I have all of my students that have come in are at least 15 years or older. So it's very high school friendly.
Mm-hmm. And we actually we're just experimenting with it at the high school. We'd like to bring it to our middle and elementary as well.
Excellent. Okay. Another question. Are there packages to purchase the program for a small number of students, such as 5 to 7 or even for one student? If so, where can I find pricing? Again, I don't want to take the time of the folks listening for more of the PD style stuff to talk about pricing, but feel free to reach out. We'll give you the website. You can fill out a form and someone will contact you. But yes, there are smaller packages. If it's for one student, you may want to just buy it without buying it as a school. But again, just speak to someone in your region. You can reach out to me if you can click on my contact information, or if not, there's a link in the chat that will bring you to a form. fill it out, ask your question, and somebody in your area will get back to you. So thank you for the question. And again, I'm just going to move on quickly because everything is customized. But again, please reach out and we will answer specifically. Is the Micronesian language included in this product? I can say not currently, but we are always looking to add languages to our list. We recently added something called Potawatomi, which is a language that we are trying to preserve. There are only 4 speakers of that language. I believe it's indigenous Americans in the Wisconsin region, if I'm not mistaken. And we worked with that tribe to preserve the language. I believe there are currently only 2 of those tribe members remaining. And so we add languages as often as we can. So please feel free to make that request again, either directly through me or on the website. And we, again, it's an evolving list of languages, but it is not currently available. But I appreciate the question about Micronesian. Can you tell us more about Mango for K to 5th graders, please? So I know this presentation focused on the high school. We usually say that for the Mango product, it's for students who are reading to learn, not learning to read. So that would typically be 3rd grade and up. But if you use Mango in small groups, you certainly could use it for K through 2. And we have a partnership with Pimsleur and offer a product called Little Pim for some of our languages. And we also have some English language cartoons available. So feel free, again, reach out to a rep and we can talk to you about what offerings we have. But again, I want to make sure that we try to make this a little bit product agnostic for the Q&A. But yes, there are solutions that we offer for K through 5. 3 through 5 can use the same product that we talked about today. And K through 2, again, groups or potentially an additional product. Our largest population is Micronesian. Okay, so this is related to the Micronesian question. There's no translate on Google for that. Will Mango work? So again, let me defer to the growing list of languages at Mango. It is not currently offered unless there's another name for Micronesian that I'm not aware of and it's on our list. But as far as I know, it is not, but please request it. And we are always trying to put out new languages to our list of available language opportunities. Okay. And again, someone asked if Micronesians understand Samoan or Tsonga. Well, in that case, I think we do have, let me look. I've got my language list right here. I don't believe we have Samoan or Tsonga. So I can't help you there yet. But again, please put in the request. And the last question, unless I see anything else pop up. If you buy an individual account, does it have the same elements as the program that school districts buy, such as content area support? Great question. So there are pieces of the product that are specific to a K through 12 purchase that would include the curriculum. So we have the curriculum part of the product, which is known as the classroom guides. The best practice guides are for teachers, pacing guides, and an additional level of account support. Also, we have certain assessments that are available in a K-12 purchase. So no, it's a little different than buying an individual account. The K-12 account has a lot more curriculum style components and also features of the actual software. So, and reporting. So if you are a district, even if you're small or looking for individual purchases, please do reach out because maybe there is some way, maybe you're even part of a consortium or maybe you can group together with other folks and actually increase the purchase and save some money. So again, I don't want to go too deep into Mango pricing or anything like that. But yes, K-12 accounts are different and have a lot more curriculum and reporting than a typical individual account that would not be designed for the hierarchy of district, school, and classroom for reporting. And again, that curriculum support and even some of the levels of account support would be a bit different. But please reach out and we'll find out. I think that was the last question. Thank you so much for all these really, really thoughtful questions. I know a lot of them towards the end were about Mango. So if you were looking to get the product list part, I tried to put all of those questions first. So thank you for bearing through the product focus questions as well. Thank you so much for attending. And I'll turn it over to the folks at Clarion in case they have any parting words.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for letting us chat with you all today. And thank you, Melanie, for putting this together.